Good news according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
Expected, but I can think of no other expression to more accurately articulate the totality of this day. Holy crap, this is the day. This is the day that many have prayed morning, noon, and night for. This is the day that some of you have paid tuition, room, and board for. This is the day alumni love to return to campus for. This is the day that faculty and staff have openly yearned for. This is the day graduates of the class of 2016 have worked 4 to 6 years for. You know who you are. You know who you are. This is the day that God has made, filled with countless emotions and a multitude of platitudes, soaked with various thoughts and an assortment of dreams, saturated with new plans and old regrets, overflowing with regrettable complexities and formidable epiphanies, all of which is mixed into this exciting yet nervous collective commencement electricity. Wow, there's a whole lot going on today. Which all means a day like today, perhaps more than most, is a day filled with holy crap. Thus, the title of my sermon this morning, and the focus of that which I hope to share in the next few moments on this important day. Beginning with an all too true story of when God was so wonderfully revealed to me through a first-hand experience of holy crap. It was the spring of 2004, my first year of ministry service in South America, and alongside a wonderful crew, I had just completed the construction of a brand new outdoor bathroom facility at Ebenezer Lutheran Church in the coastal village of New Amsterdam, Guyana. In other words, in the spring of 2004, we built a church outhouse. And I must say, I was really proud of our church outhouse, but don't worry, in a not-too-proud Lutheran kind of way. The congregation had existed for over 260 years, but we had never received the benefits of developed sanitation. So we built it. Right next to the southeast corner of the church building, it took a few weeks to construct, and in the end, it had 3 toilets, 2 sinks, 2 mirrors, and a urinal. And when we deemed it as finished, we confirmed our creation as good. Because our church house was good. However, as we would soon learn, it was not finished, as we had prematurely presumed. More specifically, it was not finished because about 1 week after the first toilets were flushed, A respected elder of the congregation approached me and asked, "Pastor, when are we going to bless the new addition to the church?" "Bless the new addition," I responded. "What do you mean, bless the new addition?" She said, "Pastor, we need to have a special worship service to bless the new outhouse." I must confess, I think I said something along the lines of, "Are you serious, the crapper?" "Pastor, of course, it's a part of the church. We need to have a special service and ask God to bless it." Now, I can assure you that my seminary education did not prepare me for this moment. I was not well-versed in the theological underpinnings surrounding the sacredness of sanitation. But after a bit of deliberation and a small bit of convincing, I agreed to do it with the blessed assurance that one day God would forgive me for it all. So that next Sunday, immediately after our regular worship service had concluded, we marched from the sanctuary to the southeast corner of Ebenezer Lutheran Church. We gathered around our brand new outhouse. The president of the church council handed me this booklet and asked me to read from the page titled Building Dedications. So I opened the booklet, stood proudly next to that new church outhouse, and I prepared the building dedication liturgy, and I read it word for word like a good Lutheran should. So I said, and I quote, "Brothers and sisters, we have come together to dedicate this building for the worship of Almighty God." I heard noises kind of like that. Kept on keeping on with the dedication with the next line, and I said, "From this day forward, let this building be a gathering place for the people of God." And I heard a sound something like that. Like a good Midwesterner, I just keeping on with the service as if nothing was going on, hoping and pretending that I could sort of pray the awkwardness away. So not quite as proudly, I went to my next line, and I said, "Let this building be a place for proclaiming the gospel. Let this be a place of bringing life out of death. And with your help, O God, let this be a place for bringing hope to us and our community." So then, to close the service, I decided to go for broke. I looked into my little worship book. I put my hand on the side of that bathroom for full-scale liturgical effect. I said, "In this place, O God, let all our work praise you." And from that day forward, I have had a new appreciation for holy crap. I'll never forget it for a lot of reasons, but I'll never forget it because I'll always remember that I needed a laugh that day. For the sake of full disclosure, at the time of the now infamous bathroom blessing in the spring of 2004, I was personally in the midst of a very difficult stage in my young life. I was 25. I had recently committed to longer-term service with the Lutheran Church's global mission. I was very alone, and I was very lonely. At the time, I was left wondering if I was indeed at the right place at the right time. As a rookie pastor, trying to learn ministry thousands of miles away from the comforts of home. And as I think back upon those lonely days over 12 years ago, I remember struggling in ways that I had not ever before. And quite frankly, I recall being taken to a level of emotional and spiritual darkness that I was mostly unprepared for. And as I fought within myself and wrestled with God, I suppose you could say that at the time I felt like crap. Nothing seemed holy. And God seemed to be as distant as the stars. It was a very difficult time. It was a very depressing time. But in a moment of grace, I was shown that the holiness of God can be found even in the crap of our lives. By being placed in a situation that I could not have imagined possible. And by laughing together as a community of faith. And most of all, through being reminded that God is always with us, no matter what. I was shown again who God is, and I was shown again who I truly was. Because in that moment, I was given the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I was reminded that God was with me, always with me, to the ends of the earth, no matter what, whether I liked it or not. And today, as I reflect upon the blessings of that day, perhaps those who welcomed me into their community could see that their homesick pastor needed to be lifted up. Perhaps the joke was on me all along. Or perhaps it was simply the right ridiculous circumstance for the right ridiculous time. Whatever the case, it was a time when I felt accompanied and resurrected. And ever since, I hold on to that memory as a reminder that even in our darkest moments, especially when we are convinced that life just simply couldn't get any worse, we hold tight to the promise. The promise that God is with us, even when life feels like crap. And I can think of no better message to share with you on this special day. Because when I look around, as I think about our world with eyes wide open, and as I reflect openly and honestly about what kind of world our graduates are being sent into, quite frankly, at times I feel sad. And sometimes I even feel scared. There's a whole lot going on right now. You know it, and I know it. And at times we might be tempted to wonder where God might be even in the midst of it. In our world today, we see so much pain and sadness and disappointment. There's violence and hatred fueled with fear and ignorance, not to mention the fires of discrimination and segregation, both open and hidden, fanned with the flames of racism, sexism, homophobia, and countless other fatal conditions that affect our society right now. Today we have government leaders failing to rise up for the sake of what is right. We have far too many citizens who worship the triune God of comfort, individualism, and entertainment. And then there's the election. Oh my gosh. I won't even go there. We see precious children of God each and every day suffering. Suffering. Because our powerful and privileged have conducted a cost-benefit analysis and declared that some lives simply don't matter. There's a lot of crap in our world today. And before we point fingers, we must recognize the times that we are creators of it. But as the 28th chapter of Matthew's Gospel so wonderfully reminds us, Jesus calls us to remember that God is always with us. To the end of the age. Which means the holiness of God is not simply present in beautiful worship spaces and wonderful music, but God is always present and always active, even and perhaps especially in the mess of our lives. As our scripture readings for this day affirm, God incarnates God's self fully into the junk of our human existence. Accompanies us during our moments of despair, stirs us up from our cruciform slumber, and oftentimes through the most unexpected and improbable of circumstances, this God made known in Jesus gives us the amazing grace not only to believe, but to love our neighbors as ourselves, in service to the common good, and to do so with courageous boldness and prophetic foolishness in the winds of the public forum. And in doing so, you and I are made new by this resurrected and boundaryless Christ. And we are invited to participate in this life-giving and life-freeing renewal. Even when it seems like things couldn't get any worse, even when it feels like the night will never end and the sun will never rise, even when it feels like the winter of our hearts will never turn over to spring, we have hope and we have peace because God is with us. God is always with us, whether we like it or not. God is there, reconciling and transforming and empowering, animating and facilitating and agitating. God is with us. God is with us. Orchestrating and organizing and mediating, collaborating and incarnating and advocating. God is there because God is with us. Navigating and relating and animating, rehabilitating, restoring, resuscitating, because God is with us. Captivating, fascinating, and most of all, liberating and emancipating. God is with us, always, no matter what. This is the good news. It's given for you, and it's given for me, today and always, whether we like it or not. So to the graduates, I leave you with this. A degree from Gustavus Adolphus College does not guarantee a life without crap. Nor does faith provide the assurance of smooth waters. But perhaps the opposite should be true. If we at this college have served you well, graduates, then your degrees should not be exclusive tickets to avoid the troubled waters, but they should be sacred equipment to journey directly into the most pressing problems of our world for the sake of engaging in matters that most matter. Because if we have taught you anything, anything, it should be that we all do belong to one another. We belong to one another. And we do need each other to become ourselves. And despite the countless mistakes made through this wonderful dance called life, everything is going to be all right. And we trust this. We trust this to be most certainly true. Because you will remember, you will, that God is with you to the end of the age. So my friends, hold on to this promise, whoever you are, however you are, wherever you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have left done, remember that God is with you to the end of the age, whether you like it or not. So to the class of 2016, may God bless you, and may God keep you. And may God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with favor and grant you peace. And on behalf of the faculty, staff, and administration of this college, I can assure you, we will be with you too. And we will see you again, whether you like it or not.